Boker Tov world, today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem, and we're holding right at the top of that daf. And yesterday we spoke about the dinim of the beged that was made out of linen. So the question was, at multiple levels in this. First of all, can you use the white threads in that beged of linen? Can you make them out of tzemer? And that would be two issues. First of all, what about kanaf, which means min kanaf, that it's supposed to actually be the same material as the kanaf, which is basically the way that Rashi learns the entire sugya. It's a question of, would you be yotze? And he doesn't even raise the issue yesterday about esedok lo tase. And then, of course, we have the other issue, and that's the way Tosus learns the main problem, was that, what about the question of eser doche lo tase in a case where anyway you're going to have to be doche it with the tcheles, because the tcheles has to be tzemer, because that's how tcheles is defined. Could you also use the white threads that would be made out of tzemer? And we actually went on to talk about the heter of using both tzemer and pishtim in a case where you're using cotton begadim, or the gutta made out of silk. And then we had a general question whether the Torah limits beged to the beged that was defined in the dinim of tzaras, which is the beged hatzemer or the beged hapishtim, and whether other begadim are included or only included mid rabbanan. This, it turned out, was a big machlokas, and a machlokas ad hayom hazeh between the Ramah and the way the Ashkenazim learned that you would be chayiv, and between those who learn, like the Rambam, that it's actually the only begadim that you're indeed chayev on the Yeraisa would be tzemer pishtim. So today, we're going to learn in this sugya a lot of things that appear to simply ignore everything that we spoke about before. We've got a lot of different approaches to why it is that we seem to have thrown out yesterday's discussion. Let's start from the beginning. Sadin betzitzit. So what's the din of a sadin? By definition, is used as a linen sheet. So linen. And they would wrap themselves in linen. That would be the stisser, like our talit, basically, except made out of linen. So Beit Shammai says, you're completely patur, and you don't put in tzitzit. That seems to be one way of understanding it. And Beit Hillel are mechayv. So the question over here, says Rashi, according to Beit Shammai, and this is not consistent with Rashi elsewhere, but that according to Beit Shammai, he doesn't darshan bichlal the smuchim of gedilim taselot together with the iser of shatnis tzemer pishtim yachdav, and therefore he doesn't have the heter of utilizing a shatnis, and because of that, he understands that must be that there's no chiv of tcheras in this situation, because the Torah wasn't telling me to do it, whereas Beit Hillel is saying that you would have to put it in. Now, this is much more complex, really, than it seems to be on the surface, because the very words, Beit Shammai potrim, make no sense the way I just explained it. Beit Shammai potrim means you don't have to. Okay, what do you mean you don't have to? I mean, if the issue is actually rooted in the Isser of Kilayim, then it's not a question of don't have to. It's that you cannot. And you cannot put in treles in that beged at all. So clearly something is fishy. And what's fishy actually relates to a lot of the complexities of what lies behind all of this. Because the truth is that according to Beit Shammai, as we're going to see later on, the chiyuv of tzitzit is not a chiyuv when you're wearing tzitzit. The chiyuv of tzitzit is when the tzitzit are yours, and they could be lying in a drawer somewhere, and nonetheless, the chiyuv would be to put tzitzit in it. So that means that when he's talking about tzitzit, he's talking about even tzitzit that you're not wearing. Well, he can't tell you that it's usser, can he? Of course not, because it isn't usser to put tzitzit on something that you're not going to wear because of kilayim. So even if there's a mitzvah to put tzitzit on the clothing in your drawer, I can't tell you that it's usser. So that explains why you would use the lashon of pater from tzitzit. Now, once the truth is that it's chayev in the drawer, if that would be true, So then it isn't putter either, because then you'd have to put in the tzitzis in the drawer since you're not going to be over on the Isser of Kilayim. So the whole thing doesn't seem to make sense. Unless you take another step and you say, yes, that's true. You have to put tzitzit on a beged that's in your drawer, but that's only if it's a beged that is roi for you to wear. But if you have a beged that has Kilayim in it, according to Beit Shammai, it isn't roi for you to wear. So therefore, it's going to end up being not chayiv in the drawer either. But I can't tell you it's usser, because the only reason you're not chayiv is because ultimately you wouldn't be able to wear it. So as you see, it's not at all as simple as it appears at the beginning. But in any event, that lashon should tip you off to things being more complex. And you got to worry about the din of the chiyav of tzitzit. Is it a chiyav dafka of the levisha? Is it a chiyav even a tzitzit that is inside of your kelim? And that we're going to be talking about later. But right now, let's take it as simply as we can. So the din is that according to Beit Hillel, you would actually be chayav, and chayav would mean that if you're wearing it, you have to put on your tzitzit. And the halacha is kedivrei Beit Hillel, and that since we're going to see later on, normally, of course, we don't say halacha kebeit Hillel, because that's always sort of a given. Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, halacha kebeit Hillel is universal. The reason we have to say halacha kebeit Hillel is because we're about to see that it's even according to Beit Hillel, there is an iser anyway, certainly in some places, which we're about to discuss, and that seems to be saying that it's not like Beit Hillel, because Omer Rabbi Eliezer bar Rabbi Tzadok, I don't understand how you can say that the halacha l'maaseh is kebeit Hillel. I mean, I can tell you that if you walk down the streets in Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak wearing tzitzit in your talit, you're going to get stoned. They're going to look at you like you're a nut. They're going to say, this guy must come from Tzfat. They're going to say that this is basically someone who doesn't care about the Yisr Kilayim. They wouldn't know what to make of it. So, kol ha-matil tchelet b'Yerushalayim en olam min ha-matmiim. This is somebody's like, weirdo. What's he doing wearing Kilayim in his tzitzis? So how can you say that the halacha, the normal halacha, is according to Beit Hillel? It doesn't seem to be according to Beit Hillel either. I mean, either you guys have it wrong, and this isn't a machlokas, and Beit Hillel never said that, or maybe this is one of the cases where we, in fact, paskin like Beit Shammai. I don't know, but I know that halacha l'maisa, nobody does this. On my Rebbe, look, it definitely, the halacha is like Beit Hillel, and that's what Beit Hillel said. So obviously, if it says that in Yerushalayim you'd look like a weirdo, it must be that they asered it, Midrabbana. So why would they have asered putting your tzitzit in a sheet? Why would they tell you don't do that? So in other words, I'm assuming, says Rebbe, that of course what we said before makes sense. The halacha is like Beit Hillel. And afal pikein, I can't argue with somebody who's telling me this is the reality. You can't wear it in Yerushalayim. So that must have been a gezeira. What would that gezeira have been based on? I'll tell you. The only thing I can think of is that imkein lama asrua. Because people basically are pretty stupid. And because of that, they don't realize that we darshan smochim and that halacha is that when it comes to tzitzit, you're able to wear kilayim. And so they would think, you know, must be that we're wrong and that kilayim is mutter. You're allowed to put wool into linen. That's why. Omele Rava Barachanel Rava. I mean, that's a little bit crazy, isn't it? Yet the Torah gives you a mitzvah, and because people don't understand the din of the mitzvah, so therefore let's cancel the mitzvah. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, what you need to do is you need to go out on an educational venture and teach people that, you know, I mean, you could do a very, very simple thing. You could take out a whole bunch of people, all of the Gedolei Hador, have them walk down the street wearing beautiful tzitzit made out of gloriously white, shiny linen, and they're wearing kilayim. And what are people going to say? Everybody's crazy. They'll say, obviously, this must be mutter. And then they'll come along and what about the pasuk and the Torah? And you'll explain it to them, you know? And that way, it'll be mefursam. He won't be mefursam. All that will happen will be that everybody will say over, well, Rebbe Yashiv wore shatnez, why can't I wear shatnez? So how is that going to explain anything to them? So that's a kosher can. It'll make it even worse. So then for sure, they're going to think that everybody's crazy. They must have made a mistake or whatever. Okay, so go say the drusha, right? There's always times people come together. They're going to come together on Shabbos HaGadol. They want to know what to do about chametz. So tell them, before we start on chametz, let us tell you something about the dinim of shatnez and tzitzis. And that way, you know, it'll get around. I mean, you can't say that you're going to be mevatel something because people are not aware, can you? Okay, I guess you're right. You know what? I'll tell you. Says Rava, I would say the gzeira is not because people are going to be matir shatnez. The gzeira is because they may actually be wearing shatnez. How is that? Remember that indigo blue is actually chemically indistinguishable from real tehillet. So the coloration itself is due to exactly the same molecule in indigo as it is in real tehillet. Now, that doesn't mean that they're identical, because when you're dealing with tehillet, you have different binders of the coloration. But as far as your eye is concerned, you're not going to be able to tell the difference between indigo blue and tehillet blue. And therefore, since it's very, it's financially very useful for people to fool you and to sell you cheap indigo as opposed to extremely expensive tehillet, so somebody may go in to a store and they'll sell him indigo. And lamaisa, if he puts that into his baguette of linen, so then it's going to be a tremendous issue of a lota semidi raisa. He's going to be wearing, thinking that he's doing a mitzvah, and instead he's going to be wearing shatnez. Says Rava Bar Bar Chana, I don't understand. So why is that a problem? Let's say it was indigo. So, okay, so if it's indigo, then what is it? Essentially, in terms of the tzitzit, what is it? It's lavan. In other words, you're telling me, I mean, you can wear tzitzit that are colored. I don't care what the color is. So these would be the white threads in your tzitzit. But, I mean, that's a mitzvah of tzitzit, isn't it? So you're going to be docha the isser of kilayim in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzit. So that should be fine. Didn't we say yesterday that if you're wearing a cotton baguette, you could put in mixed threads of linen and wool? The wool threads would be your tehillet, and the linen threads would be your lavan. So in this case, it's the same situation, but in the inverse. You've got yourself a linen baguette. You put in what you thought were tehillet, which turns out to be more lavan. So now you have four lavan, the old-fashioned tzitzit that have been around for hundreds of years when people had forgotten what tehillet is, right? So isn't that also a mitzvah tzitzit? It is indeed, says Rava. But what you forgot to take into consideration is what we didn't discuss yesterday at all. And that is that once you can be mekayim the mitzvah without being over on the iser, then that means it's efshar b'minan. It's possible to be mekayim this mitzvah. All you needed to do was to use linen threads throughout and not put in this phony indigo thinking it's tehillet and using that as your white threads. These are not white threads then that are kosher for the dechia of the shatnez. You'd have to use white threads that are linen, in order not to be over on the iser of Tzemru Pishtim Yachtov. And Reish Lakish explained that. What Reish Lakish said was, Kol makom, shatamotzi haseh velo taseh. Every place where you're stuck with this issue is the eser docha lo taseh. It depends. You have to look at it closely. Im ata yachol lekayem et shneihem. Is it possible to get away, do the mitzvah without being over on the iser? So then that's great. That's what you got to do. You have to make sure you're not over the iser. So in this case, you could put in linen. If you can't, there's no way of being able to be mekayim the mitzvah, then yavoaseh v'yitchet lo taseh. So are you telling me that you absolutely have to put this indigo in and you can't use just white linen? Obviously, you could just use a non-wool white thread, same way you did with your other two threads. So it comes out that according to Reish Lakish, you're not allowed to be Docha Kelayim in this case. And therefore, it's clear why the din is that you're not allowed to wear it because of this gezeira. Maybe it isn't really tchelas at all. Now, there's a big machlokas we're showing him over here, whether this is a din in theory or whether this is a din in practicality. The main sugya, of course, is in the sugya of Esedocha Lotase, which is fundamentally in Yevamos, because that's the whole meaning of Yevamos. Is you're being doche, the Isra of Eshet Ach, in order to be Makayan, the mitzvah of Yibum. There we go through all of the shitas. But there are many Rishonim who say that Reish Lakish, that's where Reish Lakish actually makes his point. And what Reish Lakish is referring to, according to many Rishonim, is that it means, can this person be Makayan the mitzvah? It does not mean whether it's theoretically possible. In which case, according to that, we have to say that we're talking about a case that if you don't have anything else, so then you would be allowed to be Mekayim it. But the reason that in this case Rava would say it's a gezeira is because people who do have alternatives would think that they don't need to use the alternatives, and they indeed would be over. So that would be the gezeira, but there are others who say that, no, it's mamish. If theoretically it's possible, then that would mean that you cannot in any circumstances be docha the lotase. But in either event, it's clear that we are completely giving up on everything that we said before, right? I mean, before we were talking about on your cotton baguette, even allowing you to put in two different mixed threads of tchelas and lavan, and even though you're creating the shatnez by using linen and wool, that would be fine, which is exactly the opposite that we said before. And for some reason, we seem to be completely giving up on everything that we had said before. Let's take a look a little bit more on this and see what happened and why. Velivikate. So before we do that, let's take a look at why we need to worry about this. Because the truth is, it is possible to chemically make a difference. You can bring it to a lab. And as I said, the binder of the color is very different in an indigo dye than it is in a tchelas dye. And therefore, we're going to see later on that there's a specific chemical test that you use for seeing whether this is real tchelet or not. So why can't we actually do a test? Instead of saying, I mean, look at what we've done. I'm only being mavato, the mitzvah of tzitzis on linen. So what we should do is we should simply say, we need a heksher, and we get Rav Rubin to give hekshers, and if you don't have a heksher of Rav Rubin, then you can't wear tchelas, okay? And then everybody would know that they need to go around and be bodek and buy only, therefore, in stores that passed the bedika. Okay, so, says the Gemara, you're right. Let's find a different reason for the gezeira. Gezeira mishum ti'ima. What we're worried about is because what we might do if we test them is create the problem in the first place. There's a couple of different lashonis in Rashi about how to read this. I'm taking the most straightforward approach. What you do when you make a test, obviously, is you're going to need to take a little bit of the dye to test it, right? So the problem is, if you utilize the dye for testing by putting in something into the dye stuff, then it passes the rest of the dye for tchelas. So what you really need to do is you pour out a tiny bit of the dye, and then you put something into it and perform your test on that. But if we're concerned that people will actually perform the test and ruin it by performing a test, because they'll put something into it, which is not being dyed l'shem tzitzit, it's being dyed l'shem taking it to the lab, then the rest of the expensive tchelet in that dye vat is all going to be nifsal, because if you take something out for te'ima from a dye vat, it passes it for tchelet, as we're going to see. So therefore, the te'ima itself might be the problem. And because of that, we're worried. That's one way of learning it. The other way of learning it is start from the beginning. Ella, throw out what we said. the Gezerah is not because of indigo. The Gezerah is for something indetectable. How is it indetectable? Because the guy, the manufacturer, he's not a big Talmud Chacham, and he made a test on it, and he messed it up. Even though now we can go and test it, and it's, wow, this is great Tchelas, high-quality Tchelas. Little do we know that all of this tremendous gallons and gallons that he's made of this dye are all possible because he didn't know that you're not supposed to be to'im, and we can't detect whether he was to'im. And since there's no way to know this, we can't allow people to simply go around buying tchelas, and therefore they don't know, so we have no choice but to answer it. Yes, Alon.
Why don't we do a test after the fact? If it's now otherwise, I don't know what just the color will go.
You can, but you cannot do it. What do you mean? You mean
if it's the fake tchelas?
Because then you won't have your tzitzit. We're trying to figure, but we're trying to allow people to buy tzitzit. You're not expecting that everybody's going to bring in their pair of tzitzit for testing after the fact.
Random test is
not going to help us. We need specific individual tests. So that we know we can do, but we need to have real trails available. So since we can't trust the manufacturers, how are we going to get real tchelas? And how are we going to educate the manufacturers? Well, what do you mean? Look, you could send around CDs to everybody, have them put it into their computer, and just send them a free disc, and then they'll learn, here is how to do your dyeing. And all of them, so lichtavei a diski, put it onto a disc, throw it out to all of the manufacturers, and let them see a little YouTube presentation. This is how to do it properly, and that way they'll all know. So, should be fine. Says the Gemara, you can't rely on those discs. They get ruined. Some of them come in and they don't even play. A diski lekem velismo, you're going to be shemech on a disc. How many times does it stop right in the middle of Beethoven's Fifth? So it could be that people will do it, and this whole piece will be missing from the presentation. And therefore, since you can't rely on a disc, we don't know of how exactly we can actually make sure. Well, I guess in the old days, they probably used written diskies, you know. But the reason we can't rely on a written diskie is because people don't bother reading. That's even worse. So you can't expect that you're actually going to make a difference when it comes to that. Oh, my Rava, that's crazy. I mean, what you're saying is that there's no way to ensure that people are going to be aware of the facts. And therefore, we have to change the facts. I mean, that's crazy. Well, let me ask you something. What happens if Beis Din decides that they're going to add another Adar? Okay. Now, everybody who doesn't know about that, I mean, that happens in Yerushalayim. Then we've got these people that are far away and they're going to keep Pesach based on Nisan after one Adar. Then when the second Pesach comes, which is the real Pesach, they're not going to keep it. So, I mean, does that mean Beis Din should no longer make Adar Sheni? Let's abolish Adar Sheni. No. What we do is we rely on diskis, right? So, I mean, and that's a pretty big chumrah issue. I mean, eating chametz with Pesach and Issur Karet. So I'm asking another question. What about if Beis Din decides to add another day to Elul? Now, who's going to know in time for Yom Kippur? So they're going to keep the old Yom Kippur. And now what are we going to tell them? You know, they kept Yom Kippur on the 9th, you know, so they're obviously not going to keep Yom Kippur on the 10th. So how do we inform them what day Yom Kippur is? So obviously we do rely on diski, right? So these are much more chomer issues than kilayim. I mean, here we're talking about an Issur Karet, you know? So you're telling me, says Rabbi, Chometz bePesach or Yom HaKippurim, both of them are Issurei Karet. And nonetheless, Samchina Nadiske, we rely on educational materials that are going to be sent out far away. And we assume that the whole world is going to find out about them. And we don't say, well, you never know. People may not. So over here, okay, so teach them for God's sake. It's an essay bialma. I mean, what are we going to be talking about? Question, essay bialma is lavdavka, obviously, because it could actually be an Isser, Fine, but the fact is it's certainly not going to be on that chumrah. So, look, can you rely on it on the diski? So if all they were concerned about was just this issue that maybe somebody would go ahead and they would be bedeked and the tchelos wouldn't be kosher. Send communication to all of the factories that produce tchelos and make it clear that you can't have that. Hello, my Rava. Let me tell you, I have my own approach to this, and I found out that my brilliant approach ended up being the way back in Eretz Yisrael that actually the Gedolim were mekabel my approach, and that was Rabbi Zeira. I said this myself. Hello, my Rava. Hamilta Amri, I explained what I think the Gezerah is, and then I found out that Itmar b'Ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, they quote Rabbi Zeira, who actually said exactly the same thing. The problem is that Shema Yikaraz Sadino b'Tok Shalosh v'Yit Perenu. The real problem is that it's very difficult for people to grasp the idea of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. Now, we spoke about that before in very obvious cases, where you had a beged that was not a full four-cornered beged, then you turned it into the four-cornered beged, and you put on the tzitzis beforehand. So we had examples like that. We spoke about ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. We're putting on a corner on a beged that has its tzitzis already in it from before, and now adding the rest of the tzitzit. And that was called ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. That's the problem, but in a much more subtle fashion. And that problem is that in the event that you sewed your beged, which was linen. Okay, so oftentimes you get a tear in the beged, you sew it up. And if you do sew it up, and there are threads that are remaining on that beged, you know, when you pull the beged out of the sewing machine, you got that long piece of thread, you know, two threads on your sewing machine, cut off the two threads. Ah, looky, looky. I've got two threads already built into my beged, perfect for tzitzit. So now you're going to end up using those two threads from your sewing machine for the tzitzit of your sadin. But you can't, because that would be ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. You have to make these as tzitzit and not utilize something that was there. Now, by the way, there's a machlokas over here about whether if you did it l'shem tzitzit even, would it be kosher? Or does tzitzit mean that it has to be big threads that are made separate from the beged and inserted into the hole? That's a different issue. Rashi is mashma over here that the only problem is that it wasn't done l'shem tzitzit. It was done l'shem sewing. And therefore, if you use threads that happen to be there because of something else, then that's not going to be usable for tzitzit, and therefore it's a problem of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. Now, that's the problem.
There wasn't a problem. You wouldn't have to tie the knot. You could just have it built in and sewed into the actual garment.
Maybe he does tie knots. Maybe the knots are part of the tzur of the tzitzis, whatever. As I said, that's a different machlokes b'chlal. So, v'atorah amra ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. So, since these lavan threads were part of the sheet l'chatchila, and they weren't made for tzitzit, therefore, it's pasul. Or, as Alon just pointed out, since they are not tzitzit, and they weren't put in as tzitzit, they are bechal pasul, even if I had done it, l'shem tzitzit. And we know, it says Rava, that Rabbi Zeira, he figured this out, and he took his tzitzit out of his sadin, because this is what he was concerned about. And I heard about that, and it's clear, therefore, that this was something that was true. Even in Eretz Yisrael, they realized this, and they agreed with us here in Bava. Rav Zeira, now the question is Rav Zeira Rabbi Zeira, or these are two different people, or are they two different stages in Rabbi Zeira's life? Because remember, as we saw before, if someone was in Bava, and he wasn't able to get smicha, because you can't have smicha in Bavel, then he's only a Rav. If he has smicha, then he's a Rabbi. So when Rabbi Zeira was in Bavel, it could be the same person. It's Rav Zeira. Then when he moved to Eretz Yisrael and he got smicha, he became Rabbi Zeira. So Rava was talking about Rabbi Zeira before, and this was Rav Zeira while he was in Bavel. That's a possibility. Now, some say it's a reference to two different people, but in any event, Rav Zeira said, there's another Gezerah. That's why they put in Nami, because those who held that it was the same person couldn't understand. So how could we have him saying the opposite of Rava if Rava just said he held like me? So they threw in Nami, but it doesn't seem to be the real Girsa in the Gemara, Nami. Anyway, Mishum Ksut Laila. So since over here, if you may end up using those linen to wrap yourself in the nighttime, and in the nighttime you would be putter because v'ri'itemoto. V'ri'itemoto means it has to be something that is worn b'sha'at ri'iyah. So because of that, they said, don't put your tcheles into a sheet because a sadin may end up being used at night as a wrap, and because of that, you're going to end up wearing Shaloba Maka Mitzvah, you're going to end up wearing Sha'at Neis. Now, there's a big machlokas about whether the Isser of Ksud Laila is any Ksud but B'Sha'at Laila, or whether Ksud Laila means Ksud that is miyuchad for Laila, like pajamas. So, like, if you don't have to put tzitzit on your pajamas because they're meant as Ksud Laila. So, I mean, over here, Rashi holds, apparently, because he's not machalic between the two, over here, Rashi holds that no matter what, even if this was your beged shel yom, if you ended up wearing it for the nighttime, you would actually be over on kilayim. Thing is that Rashi elsewhere explains not like that, and that ksut laila is something that was made dafka for the use of the laila. And there are also some Rishonim hold that either way, if it's nighttime, or if it's something that was meant to be worn at nighttime, but it isn't nighttime, that's actually a big machlokes, and we'll worry about that when we get to the sugya of the Zman. The Omar Rav, I have another thing that I found out that Rebbe Zera also goes like me. I said another thing, and that was what I'm about to tell you is how Nil Tamri Vitmar Bamarov and Mishmeda Rebbe Zera Kavasi. There's another thing that I said about tzitzit, and I found out that Rebbe Zera and I are mamish on the same wavelength. He said the same thing in Eretz Yisrael as I did. And I said, if the beged is made out of whatever, it's made out of regular cloth, and the corners of the beged are made out of leather, so I say it goes according to the main beged. Now, we know that al-kanfei beged does not mean leather. How do we know that? Because remember, when we talk about the dinim of tuma, when we talk about tzaras, we talk about al-ha-beged o-or, o-kokli-or, right? So clearly, beged is not inclusive of or I wouldn't have to say it. So therefore, if it were entirely a beged of leather, there's no din of putting tzitzit on the arba knafot. My only question over here is, what defines the beged? The knaf, in terms of mean knaf, or the beged? And the mean knaf is only important where once you have a beged that's chayiv, so then the mean knaf is just a remiss to what the tzura of the beged is, right? So I say that actually you go according to the beged itself, not according to the knaf. Because if it's vice versa, and he shall or, if you have a whole beged that's made out of leather, and it's got edges that are made out of beged, then it would be putter. My time, ikur beged be'inan. Because look, when it says, how can fei big dehem, so what's going to define the big dehem? Not the knaf. The beged. Then you have the other din of kanfei big dayan. But first you have to look at what the big dayan is, right? Whereas Rav Achai says, no, since the din is always defined by the knaf, even to the point of saying mina knaf, so therefore I would say just the opposite. Always look at the knaf. If the knaf is made out of beged, then you have a kanfei big dayan. If the knaf is made out of leather, then you don't have kanfei big dayan. Omar Rava, Omer of Sechora, Omer of Huna, this business about Tasev Alomena Osui, I mean, there's a lot of more obvious issues of Tasev Alomena Osui. I mean, let's say you had a beggar that only had three corners on it. They made an opera out of that, you know. So if you only have three corners on your beggar and you put in the tzitzes in the three corners, you know, And then you make the fourth corner, and then you put in the tzitzis on the fourth corner. So what would be the din over there? It would be pasul. Because when you put in those original tzitzit on the three corners, it was not a beged that was chayav in tzitzit, in which case these are not tzitzit. So you can't now say, okay, let me add another corner, and now retroactively we'll make it into tzitzit. The very word retroactively means this is ta'asev alom en asui. You're trying to make it back in time into something that, well, you never made tzitzit, and now it's going to magically become tzitzit because of something that's done later. That's the meaning of ta'asev alom en asui. So in that case, it would be pasul bishum ta'asev alom en asui. So the question is, how do you explain the chasidim arishanim? Meite. The Braita describes people that were so makbid on the dinim of tzitzis, that as they were actually weaving the cloth, and they got to the point where it had a din of a beget, so it was sholosh etzbot, right? It was just sholosh etzbot. So obviously, it's not a beget that's chayev in tzitzit yet, because you can't wear it at sholosh etzbot. We're going to see that the minimum size for a beget that is called a beget, it has to be something that a child would be able to wear, and that an adult could at least wear for a minute if he's got to run out to his car and get something out of the trunk. So at least he's not going to be flaunting his body, you know. So for a minute, I would go out like that, you know, and hope nobody notices. But I'm not basically walking out naked. So that's the shear. Obviously, sholosh etzba'ot is not going to be chayiv in tzitzit. Nonetheless, once they had a beged, they wanted to be mekayim al kanfei bigdehem, so they would put the tzitzit on the corners of that beged, awaiting the completion of the beged, which at that point they would put the other tzitzit on at the end of the beged. Now that's insane, according to this, right? Because like that's pure tasev luminosity. When they put it into that beged, it was not roy for tzitzit. And so, how do you explain that? Obviously, they don't hold of tasev luminosity. You're taking it for granted. And there it says, "Kiven shargubu shalosh yomatilon latchelat." How is that possible? Says Rava. Well, I'll tell you something. You've got the wrong girsa. What it should say is "Kiven shepatzu shalosh," which is also the wrong girsa. But "Kiven shebatzu with a base." Once they managed to get to the shear of shalosh, I suppose is what it means. Once they completed. The bitsua is the word over here. So once the bitsua, the actual manufacturing, reached shalosh etzba'ot, meaning they got within the shalosh etzba'ot, which is the shear, as we're going to see later, where you put your tzitzit within three etzba'ot of the corner. So once they got to the point where even when they finish, we're going to be able to put the tzitzit here in this spot, they already put in the tzitzit, and then they finished it up. Because at that point, it was a beggar that was chayiv in tzitzit, and they're at the place where they were going to put in the tzitzit. That's what it means. Well, I don't know. Look, mi amrina ta'asev alom en ha'asui. I mean, what about Rabbi Zeira, who says, if you put in new tzitzit into a beggar that has tzitzit, okay, so what do you want to do? You don't really have time right now to make all new tzitzit. You have tzitzit in your beged. You don't like these tzitzit. You want to put in the Rambam tzitzit, whatever. So you figure, okay, I'll do a little bit at a time. I'll leave in my old tzitzit. And then when I finish doing all new four tzitziot, I'll cut out the old ones, right? Okay, not inconceivable. So someone put in new tzitzit into a beged that already had tzitzit. So it says over there that if he til lemutelet, you put in your tzitzit into a beggar that already had tzitzit, it would be kosher. You cut off the old tzitzit, and now you've got this new tzitzit. But at the time that you put in those tzitzit, they were not kosher, because the beggar was not chayiv in tzitzit, and these tzitzit already had tzitzit. So how is it that by taking off the old tzitzit, where now the beggar becomes chayiv in these tzitzit, but these tzitzit were there automatically as soon as it became chayev? Isn't that a classic case of ta'aseh velo min ha'asui? So what are you going to say about that? Says Rava, no. There's no asiyah of tzitzit initially. that you could call it tase. It's not tase. Tase has to be a tzitzit. These are not tzitzit. Huh? No. Because look, when you put in those tzitzit, you are over on an Issur D'oraita. You are over on Bal Tosif. You cannot add to the Chiyuvim. The Torah said to put in these four threads, Al Arbakan Fot Begadecha, and you put in the double tzitzit, then you're not doing the mitzvah Satorah. So therefore, this is not asiyat tzitzit by definition. It's not because these aren't kosher as tzitzit. This is what the Torah is saying. Hey, those aren't tzitzits. Get them out of here. That's the point. So if you're going to be over on the Isser of Bal Tosif by trying to put them there, how could you possibly say that with this, I am putting in tzitzit? So the asiya of the tzitzit, according to this, would only be when I take off the Isser of Bal Tosif. So how do I take off the Isser of Bal Tosif? Only when I
It wouldn't be Bal Tosif.
Only when I take off the old ones. So Mamela, the act of the Asiya over here cannot be Asiya of Tzitzit because the Torah says, I don't want you to do this Asiya of Tzitzit. So this is not the same as Tzitzit that are being put in into a matzav where they're not needed. It's much worse than that. The other cases that we had, you're putting in tzitzit before the chiyav of its tzitzit. Over here, you're putting in tzitzit, which the Torah bans as tzitzit. So therefore, you may think they're tzitzit. They may look like tzitzit. They may taste like tzitzit, and it's still the same chicken soup. But the bottom line is, in reality, they are not tzitzit. And therefore, what makes them tzitzit? The asiya is gufa, the removal of the old tzitzit. Masha'inke, in all of the cases that we had until now, is that they really were tzitzit, except that they weren't chayav. This is not that they're really tzitzit and not chayav. These are anti-tzitzit. So what turns them into tzitzit is the asiya of cutting out the old tzitzit. Now you took off the issur about tosif, that turns them into tzitzit. So there is an asiya at that point.
Now it works? It's kosher?
Yeah, that's how Rav is explaining that this is the reason that Rabbi Zera said that it's kosher, which was a tremendous chiddush, but it's not a contradiction to the din that I've been trying to tell you, which is that it would be a problem of Tasev Ulamanosi. This is not Tasev Ulamanosi. So it's a tremendous chiddush. Now, Rav Barnea, now that you've had a chance to think before reacting, Koyanim Zrizimim, you always got to stay out of the way of those Koyanim, especially if they've got hot coals in their hands or on the way to the Ketoret. Don't get in the way of a hot-headed Kohen. So what do you say, Kohen?
The level of Bal Tosif of a five-cornered Beged, that was not what the Torah said. But here,
no,
definition...
the five-cornered Beged would not necessarily be Bal Tosif like this is.
Exactly. So here the Bal Tosif is that I'm redoing a mitzvah that's already done. By definition...
No. Wrong. The Bal Tosif is that I'm putting in eight threads in my corners. And the Torah said only put in four threads. That's like putting in five parshiot into your tefillin. And the Torah said put in four. So you can't say, all right, it can't hurt to add a little bit, can it? I mean, that's what Bal Tosif is. So over here you've got more than the necessary threads. Right?
I thought that since it's tied independently, it's that I'm redoing the mitzvah and not adding to the number.
Nope. You put in too many threads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Matkiv Rav Papa, how do you know that the person has kavana to be mosif? Maybe what he's doing is when he's putting them in, you think, because that's what you would have done. You think that he wants to make sure that he has his original tzitzit and that therefore doesn't have to finish this up quickly. So that meanwhile, he can have double tzitzit on the corners. Maybe not. Maybe basically the guy doesn't have a pair of scissors handy to tear out the old tzitzit. And he's saying, listen, I don't want to use these old tzitzit anymore. So I am going to basically be mevatel the old pair, and I'm going to be using the new pair, but he certainly doesn't want to have more than four of these ptilim in each of his corners. Absolutely not. I mean, it may be there, but he has no intent to look at that as part of his mitzvah. In which case, if that would be the situation, so then there wouldn't be a baltosiv because there was no kavana to have temporarily eight threads instead of four threads. He only wanted four threads all the time, and he didn't see these old ones as being his tzitzit any longer. So then he would not have a kavana to add to the mitzvah, and therefore we're back to our original problem, because then it would really be a problem in Tasev Olam and Asri, because now you've got a kosher bagged with four threads in each pocket. Okay, we'll stop there. So, because to get to the end of this sugya, we'll actually complete almost the next stop. So we'll stop here and let's discuss for a moment what in the world is going on with the sugya that we had yesterday in light of what we're saying here. Because yesterday we seemed to be happy with the concept of Reish Lakish. Never heard of Reish Lakish. I mean, of course, I don't have to make this into Kilayim, but we sort of said you can make it into Kilayim if you want to make it into Kilayim. So who cares? Yesterday, when it said Kivan de, we would never have said Kivan de Efsha b'minan. So Tosfos asks this question, as of course everybody does. Some say that it's just the machlokas hasugyas. The sugya before didn't hold of Reish Lakish, and here lemaskana. We gave up and we said, actually, you do have to worry about Reish Lakish, which Tosfos says at the end, maybe. It could be that lemaskana, we don't actually agree with what we said yesterday, and it's completely wrong. But basically over here, Tosfos says it could be that where we were talking about there, we held that midiraisa, it's not a din in doche. Since the Torah puts the smichus together, this is not an esedocha lotase, this is a hutra. And that we held, that sugya held, that there was no iser of kilayim whatsoever, benogea tzitzit. In which case, obviously, it would follow that we wouldn't have to worry. Even if it's a cotton beged or a silk beged, we're talking about the mitzvah tzitzis, there would be no problem at all. So that's one possibility. It could still be that it's a machlokas about whether we hold of Reish Lakish before we didn't, and here we do. It's, as I say, there's quite a few different approaches as to why these two sugyas can exist on one daf until the next daf. We made a 180-degree turn, but we certainly seem to be coming out, halacha lemaisa, that we would not use kilayim in cases where kilayim is avoidable. And that you can reread the sugya of yesterday as Tosfos learns to be talking about dafka, where anyway there would be an iser kilayim, at least in the case of the sadin, but we're still going to have loose ends, which of course Barnea is going to jump on. There you go. Okay. All right, everyone.